superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
What up? Welcome, everybody. This is the Rich Eisen Show basketball podcast. We are here on a Wednesday, March 2nd, a big day, and we are about to drop our own 100 on all you guys. Shout out Will Chamberlain. It's me. It's Brockman. It's Adam. It's TJ. What's up, fellas?
Glad to be here.
You know, I never scored 100 like Wilt, but I did put in 20 points and 22 boards in an intramural championship game. We lost, but I still played pretty well.
20 points and you kept your own stats in an intramural game?
Oh, yeah, we did keep stats. Yes, we did.
Who kept the stats? You kept your own personal stats?
Statistician.
Or there was literally a statistician?
We didn't play. Intramural was a big deal in school.
Was this person paid to keep stats?
No, it was like a intern of the athletic department.
Were you like low key accusing him of paying this person to pad his stats?
Yeah, not what kind of weird? That's a weird question.
That was messed up.
He could have a little influence. You never know.
No, when you're big dogging it with 22 rebounds, I mean, it is what it is, man. But we lost because a dude named Calvin, who was a Pittsburgh streetball legend, had 56 and fouled out three of my guys in the championship game, and we lost by 5 points. So
dang, yeah. 56 in an intramural game. I scored 40 once, and it was just like,
let me tell you something.
Even though
I was on the wrong side of it, it was an impressive thing to watch him break us down.
How many minutes was it?
I can't even remember what time. It was probably like 2 10-minute halves.
Or probably 20-minute running time, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, man, speaking of stats, guys, let me just read you some numbers real quick. I just want to read these to you because they're just so impressive to me. 27 points, 8 rebounds, 12 assists, a win by 31. 29 points, 10 rebounds, 16 assists, a win by 16. I know TJ knows what those numbers mean. Adam, do you know what they mean?
It means number one on the Philadelphia 76ers, James Harden.
Number one on your program, number one in your hearts.
Let's go.
James Edward Harden Jr.
Wow.
My God, TJ.
Next to Ray Clay over here.
TJ, how, can you just, if you could bottle up and sell it, I know you would and you'd make a mint, right? You'd be like that Anna Delvey chick, just selling yourself and your image.
I want to know why you're dressed like that. You look so poor.
These broke bitches. Can you just like encapsulate and describe for me and Adam and our audience like what the last two Sixers games have been like for you?
All right, let me encapsulate this for you. I don't know when the year was. It was 11, 12, 13 somewhere. Maybe 10, 9, I don't know. The process started. Right. The process was an unmitigated failure. It was a failure. We were supposed to get the number one pick like 5 years in a row. We ended up getting it twice. We got Joel Embiid, who then missed 2 years. And then we were supposed to get the year Andrew Wiggins was first. We didn't get it. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to get it. We did get Ben Simmons that year. And then, as I will always say to Brockman, we had the third pick in 17-18, could have got Jason Tatum, traded up for Markelle Fultz.
Jedi mind trick by Danny Ainge.
Danny Ainge just did us dirty on that one because Jason.
This is not the draft pick that you want.
Tatum should be on the Sixers, but that still bothers me. But so saying that the process was a failure is hard for me to admit, but it was. It was a failure. We, you know, gave up basically six seasons of competitive basketball for almost nothing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we got a team going when it was, you know, we had the Redick, Jimmy Butler, Simmons, Embiid year, and that was a good team, you know. And then we, you know, we lost to Kawhi and the Raptors on that incredible shot, and that's the year the Sixers could have possibly won a title. And so after all that, now looking at this team now, the way it's constructed, you're asking me how I feel. It's only two games, but watching those two games, I get a sense of like joy for one, and then I get a sense of, wow, like there's something really big going on with these two right now. And I'm not willing to say it's like Kobe and Shaq or anything. Maybe Oscar Robertson and Lou Alcindor, as Oscar came as an older player to the Bucks to help this young big man. That's probably like the closest thing that I could put the two. You had Oscar Robertson was already a star on his own before. So it's interesting, man, and watching Maxey develop and ball out. James Harden is just going to make every person on this team better. And the one thing, Adam, that is going on now that's never happened before, James Harden, save for like his first 3 years in Oklahoma City, doesn't have to be the number one option. So imagine now a number two option, James Harden.
Or like a 1B, but it's still hard.
I mean, Embiid's still number one. Like, but
just the roles are so obvious. It's like you have the inside guy with Embiid and the outside guy with Harden. And you could tell in their first two games with the pick and rolls, it was going so smooth. It's like they've played together for the last, you know, 5-6 years. And they have great chemistry off the court also. Did you guys see their press conferences? Like, they're just laughing with each other, joking. Like, you could tell that they were probably friends before all this happened. And now they're even closer. So the chemistry is definitely there. I love where this team is going, TJ. You have to be excited. This is insane.
A couple of moments have stuck out for me over the last couple of days watching this, right? There was the moment after the first game. Maybe it was after the first game where Embiid was talking post-game to the local Philly. And he just said, I've never been this open my entire life.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, he knows that he is going to get open shots and open looks and open lanes. I mean, I haven't seen him dunk this much, like on fast breaks and rolling to the basket in his whole career. And I thought that was one big moment for me. And then just like the silliness of, did you see the clip that Harden before the game, he like was trying to sit on the bench.
And he fell.
And everyone was like laughing and having a good time and kind of just like, ah, that was amazing. And they helped him out. Like, I don't think that would have happened on any other team that Harden has been on recently where they would just kind of like play that off and it would be such a fun kind of viral moment and he would laugh at it. Maybe since that side eye gif that he had that went viral. It's just, he seems like he's happy. He seems like he's having a great time. He wants to be there. I think the key word that you used, Adam, was chemistry. Like, it feels like these guys have been playing together for years, just the way the pick and roll is working. Harden's pick and pops. I mean, Maxey, TJ, that's been another huge thing that's come out of this.
Yes.
Maxey's numbers the last two games, like, you could just argue that they now have a big three with Maxey taking over that third spot, that third scoring role that maybe you thought Tobias Harris was going to fill. When you signed him to that big deal, but
which he did, he has been, but the last few days, you're right.
But now you can see that Tobias Harris as your number four option. Oh my gosh, teams would kill to have him as their number two,
right?
And he's the fourth guy now on this dynamic offense. I mean, they've put up just massive scoring numbers the last few games, and they beat Minnesota by 31,
255 points the last two games,
and they beat the Knicks by 16. I mean, Adam, are we looking at the possible one seed in the East right now?
Absolutely. The way they're playing, they can definitely go ahead of the Heat and the Bulls. Man, I before last couple of weeks, I said that I thought Brooklyn was the favorite, but the way Philadelphia's played in these last two games, I don't want to jump the gun, but they might be my new favorite to come out of the East.
Yeah,
just,
I mean,
they're so well-rounded
now. They're so well-rounded. And look, we do want to put it in a little bit of perspective, right? They beat the Knicks. They play the Knicks again tonight on Wednesday.
And they play the Timberwolves, which are a decent team, but...
The Timberwolves, good team, high-octane offense, a lot of young explosivity, and they're going to be a playoff team. But it's not like they've gone against Milwaukee and they haven't played.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They haven't played the top echelon teams. But what they've done through two games, TJ, is really impressive. I mean, I know you're a little bit biased, but are you ready to put them as the one seed in the East?
Well, I mean, the Minnesota Timberwolves are 33-29, so they're not exactly like a doormat. They've been playing well. I can see your point about the Knicks, though, right? But I don't, you know, I'm trying not to get my expectations too high.
You're trying to stay a little even keeled.
I'm trying to stay even keeled because, like I said, it's 24 games, right? So now they've got 22 games left. 22 games to get it right, get it together, gel, and get ready for a playoff run. TJ, I don't know, but
I have a question for you, TJ. Mm-hmm. So you being a Clippers fan and a Sixers fan, you've had a lot of experience with Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
Does Doc Rivers coaching this team in the playoffs concern you in terms of potentially having another meltdown? Because you've seen it in the past of multiple times with his teams where they've melted down in the playoffs.
Up 3-1. And, you know, it's funny because I, you know, being a Clipper fan and a Sixer fan, like I'm on both Twitters. Sixers Twitter is one of the most toxic places on earth. I try not to spend a whole lot of time there. Clippers Twitter is basically like them trying to... let's see how I say it. They're basically trying to put down Doc Rivers. And it's just kind of annoying as a Clipper fan to see like Clipper fans crabbing on him. Because guess what? Doc Rivers wasn't the one on the court that let Josh Smith hit 7 3-pointers. You know, Doc Rivers wasn't the one that, you know, snapped Chris Paul's finger or, you know, or pulled his hamstring. So there were definitely situations that were and things that happened that were out of his control. Yeah, were there some bad coaching moments? You know, yes, there definitely were. But there were, you know, injuries and things of that nature. And the player's not playing that well. So am I worried? I'd have to say this. I haven't seen it with the Sixers yet, right? So I'm going to say no, I'm not worried about Doc Rivers anything negative right now. No, it's not really a concern to me. But I'm sure, like, if we go on Sixers Twitter, someone who's, you know, smarter than me or maybe more angry than me would definitely have a difference of opinion.
Because you have to believe that if there is another meltdown by the Sixers and they don't make it past, say, like maybe like the second round, that people might be calling for the head of Doc Rivers. Maybe he's not the right guy to lead this team going forward. I mean, that's all yet to be seen, but that could be a potential
situation. It could be. But situation. I mean, we'll have to see. And also, like, again, you have to give Doc more than, let's just say that does happen. No, you're right, Adam. I was about to say something. A first round exit would be devastating.
No, I'm saying even if they lose in the second round.
They have to get to, I would think, at least the conference championship. For no one to, you know, raise an eyebrow. Yeah. So,
And we talked about how, look, you know, it's only been two games. They played Minnesota, you know, good team. They played the Knicks, smoked them. They should beat the Knicks tonight, Wednesday. But then we're going to find out really how good the chemistry is and how good this team is, whether it's, you know, still the honeymoon phrase have I seen people use on Twitter. Oh, everything's happy now, but just wait till they have to play a tough team. We're going to find out. I mean, they play Cleveland on Friday. They're at Miami on Saturday, so that's a pretty tough back-to-back.
Yeah.
Then they have a few days off, and then they play Brooklyn. Orlando should be an easy win, but then Denver, Cleveland, Dallas, Toronto, Miami. Those are playoff teams right in a row. They got a good stretch of games against playoff teams, against teams they could see in the Eastern Conference playoffs, Chicago, Miami, Brooklyn coming up. So we're going to see just how good they really are. And, you know, if they're really ready for prime time coming up here real soon.
Bottom line is, always, it's going to come down to health. If Joel Embiid can stay healthy.
And James Harden, too.
James Harden can stay healthy. They're going to be a tough team because they play defense. They got a lot of, you know, your Maxis, your Thibodeaux. You got those guys who are going to play defense. You got some shooters on the squad, too. So, I mean, it stunk losing Seth Curry. But I feel as though a guy I'm looking, well, Korkmaz, I feel like could be the guy who could step up and hit a big three when necessary. So, like I said, there's a lot of good role players on that Philly team, and I'm excited to see what these guys can do.
Just one last thing about Harden, too, before we move on. Is he, like, whatever diet plan that he gets on, whatever cleanse that he's able to do, like, whatever fasting situation that he throws together, can he just share that with the rest of us? Have we ever seen a guy go from, oh, my God, he looks so fat, to 5 days later being, like, super svelte and then dropping triple doubles in NBA games like James Harden. Like, he is incredible.
I think it just might be a lot of champagne. That's just the diet. No food, The champagne at the club.
Was James Harden a high school wrestler and we didn't know about it? Right. He knows about water retention and water weight.
Is
and
he outside in the trash bag?
He might be like Loudon Swain and Vision Crest waiting to, you know, wrestle shoot at 168, you know, just getting that weight and just sweating it off, you know. So who knows? Whatever he's doing, it's working. Hey, Beard, keep it up. All right. And like I said, guys, let's not forget the biggest thing about James Harden in Philly is what he's bringing to the city in terms of money, in terms of raising the economy, in terms of boosting the nightlife economy and the clothing optional clubs that he tends to frequent. Like I said, it's going to be a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, Michael Rubin brought in more than just a player. He brought in somebody who's going to change
boost the economy
of Philadelphia and make it a better city.
Yes, you know how many people are now the majority of them young women who are now going to be able to afford college because of James Harden being in the city. It's just a great thing.
The James Harden scholarship is in full effect, everybody.
You guys are hilarious.
No doubt.
You guys are hilarious. All right. Speaking of amazing, unbelievable, jaw-dropping athletes.
You just said it right there.
Can we just talk about John Morant for a second?
I mean, John, baby!
Guys, what he's done, not only the last two games, right, where he's literally scored about 400 points in the last two games, but just what he's done since he's entered the league and the way that he has just now become the face of that 2019 draft class and taken this Memphis team from just like a team that you would never think twice about. You'd never tune in to watch on League Pass. If they're playing, the Memphis Grizzlies literally have gotten flexed into the TNT Thursday night this week against Boston now because of this guy. We were talking about it on the Big Eisen show this week, Zion versus Ja. We're now entering into that territory of Michael Jordan's Sam Bowie, ultimate Kevin Durant, Greg Oden territory of Zion and Ja, which is so sad to think about. And I don't want to think about that for Zion because he's only 21 years old. I still think he can have an amazing NBA career. But this guy, can he be the NBA MVP this year, TJ? Can John Morant really be the MVP? I know Embiid is the big favorite right now, but if Ja gets the Grizzlies to the 2 seed, why is that out of the realm of possibility?
Yeah, he's definitely in the conversation. So, yeah, could he be? Of course he could be. He's 28 points per game. I tend to round up 7 boards or 7 assists. He's exciting. He's a breath of fresh air. I just wanted to jump into something that you said. I'm in no way willing to put Zion in the Greg Oden, Sam Bowie
it's
category.
It's far too early, but we were just starting to have the conversation.
Yeah, but I'm saying when Zion's on the court, it's obvious that he's a super duper star.
Absolutely.
It's just that he hasn't played, but I'm not willing to put him in any type of bust or any of that conversation yet. It's going to be a long time, but Ja is just, he's kid-friendly, first and foremost, right? He's got the dreads flying, and there's different colors. And I always feel like smaller guys tend to become more fan favorites because they're a little more relatable. It's hard to relate to Shaq. Even though everybody loves Shaq, you can't relate to what it's like being 7 foot and, 320 pounds. You just can't. But Ja, who is, he's a big dude compared to normal people, but a 6'3", slimmer guy, he seems more relatable. And I think, the more the NBA does to get his face out there and promote him as one of the next big stars, they have to do everything in their power. And I'm going to say this, but I don't every night, but I pray every night. I do pray every night, but I don't pray about Ja, but I pray that just nothing, this guy, just Ja, please,
well,
man,
get
yourself a driver.
Stay away from the
ladies if you can. I know that's a tough thing for you to do now, especially because your star is rising. But, man, just keep on the path you're going right now, brother, because you're on your way to greatness, and the league needs people like you. And, I hope he stays healthy. I hope he stays out of the bad headlines.
Absolutely.
And and you're right, Chris. It's like he's making the Grizzlies almost must-see TV.
TV. Like, Adam, when you watch those highlights this week, the crazy dunk over Poeltl, the play before the half, the full court Steven Adams jumped up, shot. Who does he remind you of? Is there a comp for this kid? Can you just put your thoughts to what we're watching with John Morant this year?
Yeah, when I'm watching Ja Morant this year, I'm seeing flashbacks to 2011 Derrick Rose. I was in Chicago at that time. Yeah, yeah. That was the year he won MVP. He was about the same age that Ja is right now, about 22, 23 years old. Mm-hmm. I think it was his third year in the league. A lot of similarities, explosive athletes like we've never really seen before, leading an upstart young team. So that's absolutely the comparison I see. I think Ja is actually slightly a better passer than Rose was in his prime. And I'm just praying, like you said, that Ja stays healthy because the way he plays is so explosive.
Yeah.
We've seen it with people like Westbrook who've been able to maintain their health. So I just don't want another Derrick Rose situation with Ja because he really can be one of the faces of the league. Like, this guy can be the number one guy in a championship level type team. And it has been amazing to watch because, you know, we're all big NBA fans. I knew about Ja before this year, obviously.
Yeah,
I knew
of
he
course.
Was a really good player, but he's really taken the leap. People talk about the leap in sports, mm-hmm. and he has taken that leap this year. And so, absolutely, I think he can be MVP this year, especially with the way he's been playing. I know Memphis, it's going to be tough for them to probably get the number one seed. They're probably like six games out right now, so I don't think that will happen. So I don't think he'll be MVP, but I think he definitely will be in the top three or four, and then he'll be a perennial MVP contender for the next, hopefully,
decade. Hopefully.
Yeah, 10 years.
Yeah, so I want to talk about Golden State in a second, but the Grizzlies have basically caught the Warriors. They have the same number of wins. Golden State has one less loss. So they're 43-19. The Grizzlies are 43-20. But they're 6.5 and 7 back, respectively. The Grizzlies are 7 back of Phoenix. So it's going to be tough to catch them with 20-ish games,
Another thing that I really like what Ja's been doing is, I think Memphis is a great basketball city.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And they've always had really loyal fans. They had good teams back in the day with Z-Bo and Mike Conley and
Slaughterhouse,
and the Gasols.
Yeah, Mike Miller.
And so I think that city appreciates good basketball. It's an underrated city to begin with. Mm-hmm. And so I think them getting shine now is an added bonus to the NBA. You're putting a new spotlight on a city that I think genuinely cares about basketball and their team. So it's fun to watch him elevate that city right now.
Yeah, that's a really good point. They've got some really good, secondary players to complement Ja. They got good shooters. Obviously, Steven Adams is someone you don't want to see in a dark alley late at night. Could they track down? Could you see them passing Golden State here, who has been really struggling lately? They've only won 2 out of their last 8. And could Memphis catch Phoenix, TJ?
I don't believe they can catch Phoenix. Half a game behind the Warriors, that's a possibility. Could they be number 2? Like, because obviously
if Phoenix and Memphis play in the Western Finals, mm-hmm. could Memphis win a 7-game series?
Yeah. Once you get into that playoffs and you get a little rhythm and you get Uncle Mo on your side's a big deal, right? You get the momentum.
Yeah, right.
Anything can happen. So yeah, this second half of basketball is going to be very exciting, man. It's going to be really.
It's just
really
so
good.
Crazy that, like Adam, like you said, we're talking about Memphis's kind of must see on League Pass. It's like, I just can't think about this enough. I think they flexed out of a Laker game to go to.
Well, that's understandable.
They go to Grizzlies Celtics on TNT. Yeah, it's unreal. It's nuts.
I mean, the Grizzlies and the Cavs, who would have thought?
Yeah, those are your two surprise teams of the season, I think, without question.
I love it. Okay, officially, are you officially worried about Golden State?
No, I think Golden State's going to be fine.
Yeah.
I still think they're going to win the West. I really do.
You do?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been saying that from the start.
Yeah, it's like, Adam, they don't need to, they've been there and they've done that. They know how to mm-hmm. pace themselves. They know that they can give a game away here and there and it's not going to worry them. Steph Curry still playing?
Yes, Steph he is.
Okay, I'm not too worried about Golden State.
Mm-hmm. You still think they're going to win the West?
Yeah. Really? I mean, yeah, I think Klay, like I said before, he's rounding back into form. I think once he's in the playoffs, he's going to exert even more, and he's going to be a huge X factor. That guy is going to get so many open shots because of Steph. Then you have defense of Gary Payton Jr., and then you have Weissman potentially coming back. I know like he's been gone all season, but if he comes back, and another key is if Draymond's healthy. Draymond has not been healthy recently.
Draymond has to be healthy.
He has to be healthy. If Draymond is healthy, then that team to me is the team to beat. I just think that their defense can be so good against Phoenix, and they can lock them up. And I just have them with the best player in Steph Curry winning the West.
Well, okay, so let's just say it goes chalk. So in the second round, it's Phoenix against Utah, and then Golden State plays Memphis. You would just take Phoenix and Golden State to move on?
I like Utah a lot. I like Gobert. He's arguably the best defender in the league. But yeah, I think Phoenix and Golden State are the two best teams. I like Memphis a lot. I still think they're another year or two away, though. They could win. I mean, I could be wrong, but if I had to give my best prediction, I think they're a year or two away. So yeah, I just see those two teams as the two best teams in the league. And to be honest, I think probably even though they don't have a better record, if it was the Grizzlies and the Jazz in a series, I would take the Jazz just because of the experience in the two superstars in Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert.
I probably agree with you on that one.
Yeah, even without Ingles too. I mean, he's a big glue guy, good, kind of fills the stat sheet, good outside shooter, but obviously he's out for the rest of the season. But interesting, because you guys aren't worried about Golden State at all. I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah, I mean, What exactly?
I mean, just worried about them kind of finishing the season strong and then just kind of limping into the playoffs. They got off to such a hot start this year. You know, Steph Curry was far and away our MVP pick. Yeah. So you could go back and watch the tape. We were all like, you know, there's no stopping him. And, you know, he had that viral kind of pregame shooting workout go, you know, hit the internet the other day, which is amazingly impressive if you haven't seen it. But I don't know. I just think there's just something off. They're really not playing defense. I guess that comes down to Clay didn't play, you know, against Minnesota this week, and Draymond is still out and no real timetable for returning. But I don't know. Something just looks off with them right now, where I think Memphis could catch them. Utah might even catch them. And suddenly now they've got to go on the road for a 7-game series in the second round, and they could kind of get got.
It's the dog days of the NBA right now. They have championship experience. I don't think this is going to affect them in the playoffs. Obviously, it wouldn't be good for them if they had to play Phoenix in the second round. If they were like the 4 seed and Phoenix was the 1 seed, that's a tough second round matchup having to win at Phoenix. But no, I'm not worried about them. I think come the playoffs, they're going to be fine. Yeah.
TJ, not worried. Not worried one bit.
I mean, in the big scheme of things, I don't have enough rooting interest to really concern myself with the Warriors right now. But I'm not worried, because like I said, they've been there. They already know what it takes to win a championship. They'll pace themselves. They'll get themselves right. And I think they'll be ready for the playoffs without question.
Lakers fans booed LeBron at home this week.
Well, they booed the whole team. Wow.
They booed the whole team, but it was kind of after a turnover that LeBron had that the boo birds really came out. Did that surprise you? And was it, you know, did you think it was justified?
It doesn't surprise me at all. Lakers fans are spoiled. Lakers fans have had consistently winning teams the last 50 years, essentially for a few years.
You know, when they went 6 years and didn't make the playoffs.
But for the last like 45, 50 years, they've been pretty much always a powerhouse team. Yeah. It doesn't surprise me at all. And was it justified? I actually do think it was justified, because if you're paying, think about how much money people are paying for those seats at Staples Center. Thousands and thousands of dollars.
Courtside, thousands.
They're spending all types of money on food and drinks and parking. They shouldn't expect such a bad product when they're expecting a championship level team at the start of the season. I know you have to adjust your viewpoints on how good the team is, but you absolutely have the right to boo a team, even LeBron, when he's making sloppy plays and they're just playing bad, uninspired basketball. You absolutely have the right to boo them.
But LeBron's averaging 29, 8, 6, steal and a half and a block. I mean, LeBron
he's
is
having a great year
doing his part, you know.
I saw something on one of the talking Yapper shows where it was like, you can't just – having LeBron now isn't just enough. Like, back in the day – you could just have LeBron and expect to be 500, expect to be a playoff team, expect to contend for a championship. And now it's not enough anymore. So, like, what do the Lakers need to do? Should he even want to stay in Los Angeles? Like, if you were Team LeBron James, what would you want to do with your basketball future for what few years there are left?
I'll tell you what I would do.
What would you do?
Personally. Well, Chris, if I'm LeBron James, right, I've already established myself as a mogul, you know, movies, TVs, you know, other products. He wants to be in Los Angeles. What better place maybe to go would be to a team that's opening up a brand new stadium in Inglewood in 2024 and maybe join them.
The house that LeBron built?
Well, please stop it. The house that Stevie Ballmer built, the house that Kawhi built. But, you know, that's a pipe dream, I guess. But I don't know what happens with LeBron. I can't see him leaving to go to Detroit. You know, I can't see him leaving to go to, you know, Houston. So, yeah. And he obviously, you know, it came out something that we've been talking about for years now, him, the possibility of him playing with Bronny, right? That's going to be the thing. Is Bronny James going to be good enough to warrant a high draft pick?
Yeah, first round pick, lottery pick.
Then it's like, what's LeBron's contract status? Does he, after this contract runs out, does he just sign a series of 1-year deals? Just so if the opportunity does come to play with Bronny, he's ready and he can go where he wants. I'm assuming that's what he's going to do. He's not going to lock himself into a multi-year deal, I wouldn't think, right?
Yeah, that doesn't give him an out to play with his son wherever he ends up going. I don't know. I'm just curious. I mean, we talk about the Lakers a lot, but because they're an interesting team that, considering where their expectations were when the season started, which was NBA championship, they could possibly not even make the play-in tournament, which is insane to think about. And now there's a report coming out on Wednesday that them and Russell Westbrook have, quote, mutual interest in finding him a new team for next year. Yeah, no kidding.
Worst signing of the year.
Yeah, obvious it wasn't a fit. We saw it from day one that it just wasn't going to work. And, you know, we just took LeBron's word at it that it was going to give it time. I can make it work. I can make anything work. And it was like, no, this just isn't a fit. What do you think the Lakers are going to do, Adam?
I mean, LeBron has a limited number of years in his career left. He has a limited window. So I think if you're really trying to win with him, you kind of have to mortgage the future and potentially get fleeced on a Westbrook deal. Maybe get somebody like John Wall. You have to give up a bunch of picks.
Yeah.
And you have to trust that that will work. You have to do deals next year in the offseason because LeBron at the most maybe has, 2 to 3 years left? Maybe they have to win in the next couple years for him to win another championship. You need to take advantage of Anthony Davis also because as he gets older, he's already injury prone. He's going to get even more injury prone. He's still, I think, in his prime. He's still a great player. You have two guys who you only have, I think, maybe like a 2-year window at the most to win another championship. So I think if you're Rob Pelinka, you have to go all in, do whatever it takes, get rid of Westbrook, figure it out. Like, you have to figure this out. I don't think they will figure it out, though. I think they really screwed up, and I think it's too far gone at this point. But you never know. You never know what'll happen. But
I mean, look,
Westbrook
could,
signing really screwed them
they
up.
They could somehow, you know, win the play-in tourney and be an 8 seed. And
as long as LeBron is there, they're going to be in at least a play-in tourney. Like,
but that's not good. LeBron wants championships.
Exactly. Yeah, that's
but I'm saying, at least they're good. They're not not going to make the playoffs is what I'm saying.
If you're Rob Pelinka, do you sacrifice your draft picks for the next 4 or 5 years potentially to go all in? You kind of have to, because the problem is if you don't and the team stinks next year,
you're fired.
You're fired and they don't win a championship. So you kind of have to.
We talked about that on the big show, I think, last week. I'm under the impression that the Lakers did go through a decade of just bad basketball with no playoffs. And it's like, do you want to go through that again?
Right.
You know, so that's a question, like you said, that's for their front office. That's for their brain trust. But it's like, do you want to mortgage your next decade to try to win in the next year or two? I mean, I don't know.
But does John Wall even get them to championship level?
I don't think so.
That's
by the way, John Wall is not the answer to any question that's going to get you over the hump. So no.
I just don't see anybody really that they could get that could really take them to the next level. That's what I'm trying to think about. Like, who can they get?
Well, the thing is, they are the Los Angeles Lakers, so anytime there's a free agent, they're always going to be in play. I don't know who's coming up free agent wise. I don't know salary cap numbers, but if there's a way for them to get a player, chances are they're going to end up getting
they really messed up getting Carmelo and all these guys from 2010 that were Hall of Famers at the time. And you know, they gave up the Carusos, the Kuzmas, KCP. Like, those were the guys that really met.
Brandon Ingram?
Those guys made the difference.
Yeah, but they weren't ready. So when they acquired LeBron, he wants to play with guys he's comfortable with and guys who he can trust in big moments. And like at the time, Kuzma, Lonzo, Ingram,
Lonzo good.
Caruso, even though now a few years removed, they're much better NBA players. At the time, they weren't going to win a championship with that team. So yeah, you know, LeBron and Clutch felt like they needed to make a big move. Acquiring Anthony Davis helped. They did win a bubble championship, asterisk for me, just because I'm a hater. But it's like they did get that title, and so you got to justify it by saying, look, that move paid off. But now I just don't see what the fix is.
If I had to bet, I'd say that the Lakers do not win a championship with LeBron, and eventually LeBron leaves to play with Bronny to another team. I just don't see them.
No matter where it is, whether it's like Oklahoma City or
Orlando. Oh, yeah, he'll go wherever. Yeah, he'll just sign the minimum, whatever. It's not even about
money.
Yeah, but
we already know that he's going to go try to play with Bronny. So, and we know it's not going to be in L.A. Like, there's no way the Lakers are going to be able to get it. So, yeah, that's pretty much
it. I think four rings for LeBron. He doesn't make it to Jordan's level. And Jordan's the best.
LeBron finishes with four, you think?
Yeah.
Over under a 0.5 on.
You know, I don't honestly, I'm so over the Michael LeBron
thing.
No,
we're not talking about that.
I know, but I'm just saying, I'm trying to bring this point up. I don't care about that anymore. I haven't cared about that for 5 years. What I do care about is getting back to something we talked about last week with the NBA All 75 team. And I don't think enough has been made about the collection of talent that was there, because there's a lot of guys who, unfortunately, in the next 25 years will not be here, right?
Yeah.
Me and Brockman were talking yesterday. NBA 100, Michael Jordan's going to be how old, Chris? 82?
Yeah, so Mike was 59, so he could be 84. 84? Which is about how old Bill Russell is now.
So to me, it's like people always want to do who's better, Mike or LeBron. I don't care about that. Here's what I care about. That video of Michael.
But I do care.
You can care. Oh. That video of Michael and LeBron hugging, that was so dope, because guess what? We never got to see Babe Ruth and Barry Bonds in the same room together. We did get to see Willie Mays and Barry Bonds, which is about as close as you're going to get to a Jordan and LeBron situation. But think about over time. We never got to see John Unitas meet Tom Brady. You know, we never got to see some of the biggest names, stars from the past, meet their counterparts from today's game. So to me, going back and watching those videos of all those guys interacting and hugging, that moment where you arguably have the two greatest basketball players of all time, and I'm not going to sit here and pit one against the other because I absolutely hate that. To me, that was special, man. And I feel like we should appreciate that moment, because we're not going to get that moment again, probably, man. So you know, put all that who's better aside, like those two collectively might be the mega powers. They might be Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage. They might be the two greatest ever. And seeing them have that moment, that was amazing to me. And I'm going to take that away from the NBA 75. That was just beautiful to me.
Listen, I love LeBron. I think he's an incredible player. But the LeBron stands do bother me, especially the younger ones who have never seen. They never saw Jordan play in person. I've seen both players play in person. And the argument that I will always have against them is the six championships. And if LeBron gets to six, then they have a valid.
But Adam, the championships can't always be used, because Bill Wennington has three titles and Patrick Ewing has none.
No, but we're talking about the number one guys on each team. Yeah, but that's the difference.
The difference, I don't know. I just. LeBron is the most talented basketball player I've ever seen.
He might be the most talented, but he's not the best.
Skill set wise. And the thing you said, the LeBron stands, I hate that so much, because there was always people who hated LeBron before these so-called LeBron stands came out. There's also like a huge group of people who are going to crap on LeBron. If LeBron scored 80 points tomorrow, they would sit there and go, we didn't have 81. He wasn't Kobe. It was like, you can say LeBron stands, but there's also LeBron haters. And they're equally as annoying to someone like me who just wants to watch basketball and hates all whatever. LeBron is great, man. What I want to say is, to people out there watching, don't do what I did with Kobe. I spent all my time in L.A. not appreciating Kobe Bryant because I didn't like the Lakers. And I missed out on some really excellent basketball. Even though I did watch it, I didn't allow myself to enjoy it because, I didn't like the Lakers.
Yeah,
LeBron, I've made it a fact that even though I don't like the Lakers, I'm still appreciating because I love basketball and I'm seeing greatness. And guess what? We're not going to be able to see that greatness much longer.
And it's funny
man.
You mention that, because about 6 weeks ago, Michael Smith was on from Brother from Another, and he said, you know, hopefully more people are watching the Lakers through the lens of the LeBron appreciation tour. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it is year 19. What he's doing is 18. Really incredible considering how many miles he has on his body. I mean, think about all the games he's played in the postseason.
He's had to have played the equivalent of 26, 27 seasons at this point.
It feels like it with the Olympics and the playoffs. And he's still putting up incredible numbers.
8 straight finals.
He's going to be the all-time leading scorer in NBA history probably in the next few years. I don't think he's, you know, the greatest of all time, but who cares? Like, what he does on every given night, it's not resulting in wins for the Lakers, but it is really incredible to watch. He still has incredible effort a majority of the time. Some of the plays he makes, it's just amazing. He's really improved on as an outside shooter. I think he leads the NBA in field goal attempts per game. Like, he's doing what he has to do. It's not resulting in the wins because just how poorly constructed the team is, and he's had a hand in that, but whatever. It's just kind of fun to watch. It's kind of like Tom Brady. You don't like him, but, man, he's so old, and he's still so amazing. And I just, you know.
I'm not a LeBron hater at all. I appreciate greatness, and he's either number two or number three on my greatest list is either him or Kareem. So I respect everything he's doing. I love watching him play. I think he's a basketball genius, just the way he plays the game. He's got the mind of a basketball genius.
Yeah, without question.
But, you know, we've all seen those two guys, Jordan and LeBron, play. So, like what I'm saying with the LeBron stands are the people who never got to see Jordan play in his absolute prime, and they're just going off of like old YouTube videos or something like that. There's a difference in seeing both players play live in the moment, and that's what I'm saying, is that there's just a different level between those two. I know you don't want to talk about it, but it's just something that I think about in terms of his legacy, in terms of if he only has 4 rings, he just can't even be really, to me, in the discussion with Jordan.
Then I know this is going to be pushback. Bill Russell's got 11 rings, so.
Yeah, but he also had...
There's a lot of yeah buts with these ring arguments is what I'm saying. Like, everything's like,
but this, but that.
But there was only 8 teams. You win the games when they're presented in front of you, right? I don't care if you've got to go through 20 teams or 10 teams. If you won,
that's why these types of debates, you know, kind of will always exist. And we'll leave it there for this week.
But Mike is the man.
Mike would have dunked over Bill Russell so many times. Let's be real.
Well, yeah, shot blockers do have a tendency to get capped on. Let's be real. That's for sure.
Bill Russell was also like 230 pounds. All right, guys. Thanks for watching, listening, checking us out wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate you guys. That's it this week. Rich Eisen Show Basketball Podcast. We will see you next week. Enjoy the games.
Peace.
Later.